Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to the CXO podcast. I've met Daisy Chung, who is a director of sales at Aurum, who's done pretty well for herself. She was an enterprise AE and is now in a sales director role, and sounds like you've closed like millions of dollars of business. And I see that you've been promoted from an SDR to a manager of sales development, and then you were an account executive at Namely, which is also one of the fast-growing HR tech companies out there. And I'm glad to have you on the podcast.
Likewise. Thanks for having me, Davidson. Super excited to be here.
Yeah, I loved our conversation when we had the first time, right? I think tech sales is still one of those areas where you don't really see like a lot of Asian parents saying like, hey, you should get into tech sales, right? But I know for both of us, it's led us to have a life of just so many cool things, right? Being able to travel the world, being able to live a life of luxury and meeting interesting people, learning and growing. So would love to center a lot of the conversations around how you even break into tech sales and what different career paths you can choose, because it sounds like you've gone multiple routes in your career so far.
Yeah, of course. So big plus one, I think that tech sales in general is not a career a lot of Asian families know about or even understand. Like, my family knows I'm in software sales. Honestly, I don't think they know what that really means. I think they think I talk a lot, but like the nitty gritty of what it is and like how it's so amazing to do this remotely, to work with so many different people, and what software really is and how do you sell software. So that can't resonate enough with me. And I'd say on a larger scale, I think a lot of new grads don't know about software sales. I feel like when you're in college and you're looking for your first job, no one thinks about software sales as much, at least back in the day when I started. I think nowadays there are more boot camps, more things promoting it. But it's a very unknown career. And for me personally, I fell into it. I had no idea what it was all about, and it changed my life. So fast forward to now, I think that folks who are interested in software sales, there's a lot of different podcasts, videos, content out there, as well as boot camps. Before, those boot camps were focused on, you see a lot of engineering boot camps, how to be an engineer without the degree. And now there's a lot of different software sales boot camp, which is amazing to see.
Yeah, I love that, right? It's because, like you said, even when I first started, right, they didn't have that. And now there's so many, and it's a lot of folks who don't even have a college degree. Right, not saying you should have it or if we would recommend it, but they can just go the alternative route and go into one of these boot camps and maybe even save like 4 years of college if they know for sure they want to get into tech sales.
Yeah. I think that software sales is a skill that it'd be nice to have a college degree, but I don't think it's necessary. It really drills down to your personality traits and how it works with you, as well as your goals and drive to enter the industry.
I mean, there's probably not like a one size fits all approach, but you know, you're in sales leadership and you're a manager and you're also a very effective account executive. Like, what qualities and traits have you seen like really separates like folks that are getting to President's Club, like smashing their numbers, versus maybe folks that are middle of the pack?
Yeah, it drills down to a couple of things. First and foremost, it's that rep's goals. They have to know why they're in software sales and what they want out of it. And the more you recognize that, the more driven and passionate you are day in, day out. Because I'll be honest, like I personally think software sales is a lot of fun, but sometimes, you know, it can get stressful. There's a lot of ups and downs, a lot of unpredictability. I think that's what scares a lot of people away from it. But when you just drill down to know exactly what you're there for, you know, the obvious is a lot of people in sales, they want to make a lot of money. And that's awesome. That's great. I love hearing that in interviews. I hope you want to make a lot of money because you have that goal. You can break down the math to see, I want to make this much, then I need to close this much, then I need to source this much pipeline by this time frame. It's very mathematical. But other folks also, if maybe you want to get into sales to expand your career and see, you know, a lot of people say a software, an entry-level sales development role is a stepping stone into the company. And that's a good thing too. You're in the SDR role, the sales development role, and you're open to doing all the other departments. And to do that, you have to do well in your job and you have to get to know other departments. And day by day, that's what's gonna motivate you to do well as well. So really drilling that down will help you get to the day-to-day and drive that excitement at work.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. Oh, I wanted to go back to what was life like before you got into tech sales? Because I know you've also, I mean, you being in that in California, right? Of course, you're exposed to a lot of it, but it sounds like you've had careers prior to doing the one that you had now. So I'd love to learn a little bit more about your career trajectory as well.
Yeah, so I mean, I started software sales out of college. Before college, I did do a number of things, and I was a lost college student. Honestly, in college, originally thought I was supposed to be in finance because that's what all my friends are doing. That's what my parents told me to do. Everyone's like, you have to get into the big four accounting firms. I'm like, yes, that's what I do. I remember I took so many finance interviews, analyst roles. Roles talking about financial modeling when I'm like, I don't even really know what that is. And I remember I just yeah, I remember I was rejected interview after interview because it didn't align with who I am. I thought I was supposed to be in finance. I kid you not, I applied to 50 plus finance jobs in college and they all rejected me. But then I started developing myself and realizing that I think I like people and I like working with people. So I had my mindset on recruiting because I saw how university recruiters at my school would come over and there's a lot of talking, interacting, a lot of traveling. So I thought to myself, I probably want to be a recruiter because you get to travel, you get to talk to people. So that's what I was actually aiming for after college. I did get a couple of offers around a recruiting coordinator role. I also got an offer from Facebook, not for a recruiting role, it was for a program management role, entry level. And I remember thinking, I was so happy because I wanted to work for Facebook or Google or LinkedIn or one of those big tech companies. And I remember getting really excited. At the same time, I got an offer for a entry level sales development role. And it was very hard to pick. I think what told me deep down was to go for the Facebook role. But after speaking with a lot of people and just getting a gut feeling that life is too short to go the easier path and something the world's ambitions just gave me a little bit of spark excitement. So I took that leap of faith, and that's how I ended up in software sales. But definitely wasn't the first thing in my mind. No idea existed. I stumbled into it, and from then on, it definitely changed my life.
Yeah, I love what you said, right? I think in college, too often we're following the herd, and it's kind of like, our parents know better, or we think, oh, this is the big four, that's what everyone wants to do, right? And like you said, tech sales is becoming much more mainstream, right? As people start to see how well, obviously, companies like Salesforce and Google and Facebook are doing, right? But it's still like surprising, at least over here on the East Coast, like where I'm from in New York City, like you really don't still don't hear about it as much, right? Like most parents, at least Asian parents that I know, are still more like, hey, get into like become a pharmacist or become a doctor or a lawyer, right? So I still think there's a lot of room for growth in terms of like really letting, even like my younger cousins know or folks that are like people just don't even know they exist. They're like, what do you do? Like, I still don't even understand like how you would like get into that, really.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think it boils down to educating others on two things. One, the potential of how much money you can make. I don't think people recognize the how much money you can make, but also it's uncapped and there's a lot of control. A lot of times when you're in other jobs, whether it's finance or anything else, you don't have a lot of control to your promotion or your annual raise. You kind of get what you get. You can negotiate, you can leave your company. But in sales, you can control to an extent how much you make by working for those commission. And once you're in sales, you know the world of accelerators and bonuses and things like that to really jumpstart how much you make. So I think the education on that piece will definitely get a lot more people excited. And then I think demystifying what sales is like or software sales. I think there's too many people out there that just associate the word sales to like a used car salesman or like sales tactic or just has this negative connotation. But when they really understand what this role is, how consultative it is, and how much it can grow you as a person, I think that can open doors to a lot more folks entering software sales.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, just letting people know, yes, like money is more of like the first like thing, right? It's like, okay, that piqued my interest, and then like you said, then learning about, well, you get to travel, you get to meet a lot of people, or you get to solve problems. Yeah, it sounds like we still have a little bit of like that branding problem, right? Because at the end of the day, sales is, there's so many types of sales, right? So, you know, they're not all weighted equally, and yeah, I think just having these conversations, right, through whether it's through podcasts or your YouTube channel, I think people are being more curious, and people are like asking like, oh, what does a day in the life look like? So yeah, so thank you for doing your YouTube channel. It sounds like you're very thoughtful in your messaging and your communications in general.
Yeah, no, of course. Thank you for that. I think it really boils down to how it changed my life and I didn't know it existed. So that's why I have a big passion of educating others, especially folks who don't know what it's about and don't know what they're missing out on possibly. So
Yeah, I would say sales is the only industry that I know of where you can literally like double or triple your income in a matter of like 5 years, right? Like you said, like finance and more traditional roles, you might get, you know, $5,000 to $10,000 raise, right? Lucky, like $20,000 raise, but you wouldn't, it would be pretty difficult to get like a $50,000 raise, right? Whereas in sales, like that's, you know, it's not easy, right? But it is possible in those roles.
exactly. And I remember when I started off back in the day where bases were lower than what it is today, my base as an entry level was lower than all my friends who got their entry level like finance or marketing or all these different departments. But with commission, the commission I earned that first year, I earned well more than a lot of my peers. And then year after year, I'm a true believer that once you do it and you work really hard, you want to improve. You should be making a lot more money every year because you're getting better and better at your trade. And so I think it goes back to, again, the demystifying. On paper, it looks a lot lower when you're just looking at the base, especially when you're entry level, you have no experience. But you got to think long term. And long term, it blew my mind how much more I was able to make, even though it started off as a lower base than a lot of my peers.
Yeah, that's a good point. A lot of people think, even a lot of younger SDRs that I know, right? They're always thinking, not always, but there's a good percentage of them that are always thinking like short term. They're like, well, this SDR job is 10K higher, so that means I should take it, right? Well, I'm like, well, not exactly, right? Like, what industry are you, what are you passionate about? What about your coworkers? Can you learn a lot from your manager? Like, there's so many other factors, but a lot of times they're often fixated on like just the base salary, right? Of course that's important, but I always say like, hey, think like 4 or 5 years out, like, you know, don't think just right now, because it's all, you're building that foundation, and it's important to see the bigger picture.
Exactly. That's a really important point. A lot of folks, it's easy to think about whatever that bottom salary is offered to you is what you're evaluated on. But really, it's the company, it's the product, it's your direct manager, it's the people you work with. You can't put a dollar amount on that experience. You can't put a dollar amount on how much you can learn and gain from that. And that's what's going to propel you in your career. I'm a big believer. It's the people you meet, the experiences, how it gets you to the next level in your career, that's going to propel it more than anything. And in your early, three, five, even first 10 years, I'd say experiment. Like, take the pay cut, work for a company you really believe in, work for leadership you believe in, be at a place where you're just learning, 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 and all of that will pay off in the future.
I'm curious because you know, like when you think of a company like the Big Four, right? Inherently there's probably a little bit less risk, right? In terms of like, you know, you kind of know what you're gonna make, you know, like the company will be around, versus like even both of us, right? We work for a startup, right? There's a little bit less factors that, you know, who knows what the company will look like 3 years from now. How does like someone who is like definitely afraid of risk, like of, you know, quote unquote failing and making a mistake, like get over the fact that like, oh man, like I don't know if I can be number 10 at a company, like that's pretty scary for me.
Yeah, I think biasly, because I am at a startup, I'm a big proponent of startups. There, isn't really that much of a risk because let's say worst case scenario, the company goes under, you go to another company. You know, it's not like you lost the company. The big risk is for the CEO, the executive team. Their company went under. It's technically, you know, it's unfortunate. I'm sure you spent a lot of time and you have equity and things like that. But ultimately, in terms of job safety, it's a candidate's market right now. You can easily get another job elsewhere. And if it's in software sales, that's a skill set that you can go anywhere with. And that's another reason why I love this role so much is because I tell people all the time, like once you get the skill, once you earn the money you're looking to earn, you give yourself those goals, you can do whatever you want in life. You can start a business, you can try another industry, you can maybe take a year off, do something else. And worst case scenario, whatever you do doesn't work out, you have the skill set to go back to the job market and get another sales role. And so I think being in software sales gives you that job security. Because at the end of the day, everyone needs someone in sales. And even if it's not software sales, lots of companies, lots of jobs need someone with sales skills.
Yeah, the skills are so transferable too, right? Like in you creating content for YouTube or whatever it is that you're up to, right? It's those skills really make a difference in all aspects of life. So I love how you pointed to that. What's something that is that people don't know about software sales that you want to share that is interesting for people that want to get into the industry? And maybe they have a really good job right now. Maybe they're making 200K as a manager at like a big four firm, but no, they know that they want to try something different.
Okay, I'll just hone on the money aspect since I know that's what people are usually interested in. But what really I guess motivated me and gave me that like light bulb effect is the idea of accelerators. So in software sales, usually once you hit your quota, you have accelerators and there's additional accelerators as you get better and better, whether it's 1.5x, 2x, things like that. So if you think about it, what that's saying is if you hit your number, anything above that can be paid out 1.5 or 2x more doing the same work, then it's in your best interest to, you know, work your butt off, hit those accelerators. If you work really hard 1 year, you can make more money than working okay and hitting your number 2 years. Which means if you work really hard, you can make the same money. You do work for a year and not work for a year. Get 1 year off and you would make the exact same money. Like, that's mind-blowing. You can't do that in your 200K management job. You have to work that job year after year to make 200K. But what if I told you in software sales, you can find the science and the skill and the drive to get 400K, 500K in 1 year. And that means if you want, you could take a whole year off and still earn more than you did working 1 year. So that is what I want to share with the world.
That's pretty convincing. Yeah, it almost sounds like too good to be true, right? I'm curious, like, 'cause I'm sure in the beginning you had struggles, like you've had obstacles. Like, do you find like even being a woman, right? Like when you're selling to CFOs or maybe chief revenue officers that are old men, like do you feel like sometimes like they make assumptions about you, or like are you don't even like see that real, like you don't deal with that type of assumptions and things like that.
I'd say earlier in my career when I first start out, I get a lot of comments saying like people will call me darling or sweetie as I'm trying to, you know, book a meeting and things like that. And it did feel a little bit like it just felt like they were putting us in different levels. Like being called sweetie in a sales campaign, you know, feels kind of like off-putting in a sense. But what you learn from that, that's the world, you know, like you can't let other people's thoughts and mindset affect you. And that's the beauty of sales I love as well, is because you grow from that. Not everyone's going to treat you the way you want to be treated. And you learn to have tough conversations, to level set, to be direct. These are all skills you learn as a woman in sales. And I love it because these are skills that outside of sales, it's great. You don't take any personally. You can, you know, just have direct conversations if you're ever uncomfortable. And so fast forward now, like years into my career, I feel like it's an advantage being a woman. I feel like as long as you're very confident in what you're doing, there you you stand out more. In an industry where it's mostly, male dominated, I think you can stand out as a female in it and not be afraid. So I appreciate being a female in software sales.
It's interesting, right? Because I've interviewed 150 change people now, right? President's Club winners, like people similar to yourself. And I definitely noticed that what you guys reframe challenges a lot more differently, where some people might be caught up and they might be like, oh, yeah, well, most of the executive leadership team and most sales organizations are men, right? So I don't even have a chance, right? Versus like, you're saying that actually this is an event, like I stand out and I separate myself, and it's just the way you think about things. It sounds like different than folks that are maybe middle of the pack or so.
Yeah, I've always been a big believer that I'm making a lot of analogies between sales and life because I do see a lot of analogies. So I'll just say this again. In sales and in life, attitude determines altitude. That's one of my favorite quotes because it really is your perspective that drives you there. And especially in sales, it can be very emotional. You're gonna have times where you're doing really well, you're at this high, everyone's giving you shout out, and out of nowhere, your pipeline disappears, or you just lose deals, or whatever the case is, and you're at a low. And you have to be able to manage the highs and lows at a neutral point to do well and not eat up all that stress. And so that's why if you can keep your mind straight and have the right attitude for sales and in life, that's when I see a ton of success. You control it with your own mindset.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? With your mindset, like, 'cause sometimes you think like the chicken or the egg, right? It sounds like with your mindset, you could be successful like in any industry, like not just tech sales, right? So I don't know, like that's what I think. Or like you said, you're just very clearly aligned with these are my skills, these are what I'm good at. And then because there's such alignment, like it does seem like fun. Like it does seem like maybe like you don't have to strain and you don't have to stretch as much as like maybe someone who maybe isn't into that type of stuff.
Yeah, and that's why it brings back to my first point. What is your goal? Why are you here? Why are you, whether it's software sales or finance or recruiting or marketing or whatever you're in, you have to know your why. You have to know what you're doing it for and what drives you. And it doesn't have to always be money. Like it could be like you like to learn your own company. Whatever it is, you have to have that why really nailed down for you to be motivated and know why you're doing what you're doing.
That's a huge takeaway, right? I think so many of us like aren't really sure. Like we think we know, and it's like, oh, our parents like kind of, told us we should do this, or oh, I have an uncle once that was an engineer, so that, that's why. And even some folks in sales, right? Like you said, maybe more of like folks that are like more in the middle and bottom of the pack, they're not even sure sometimes like what they want, right? I think they're just kind of like, oh, I just fell into this. I love the intentionality and the purposeful planning of your career. Thank you.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. I think you, my internet cut off. That was me.
Worries. Well, thanks. I have a couple more questions for you. What is something that might seem like really foreign or like crazy to other people that you know is like is the truth, but a lot of people would think that it's crazy that you think that that's the truth.
Are you just, was there like a specific thing you mentioned or just in general?
Like it could be like a mindset or a mindset shift, like something that maybe you take for granted because you've almost like mastered that skill, and the society or the rest of the world isn't quite there yet.
Got it. So to rephrase, what is something that I think is normal, but it's outrageous to other people? Huh, that's a really good question. Never been asked that before. Let's see. I don't know how outrageous this is. It's a small thing, but I think that. Okay, so how I found success in sales is knowing when to automate and make things into like a very scientific process where it's like you don't have to think, and knowing when to expend energy for creativity. It's kind of similar to, you know, how Mark Zuckerberg is known for wearing a black Oops, sorry. I think that was me again. Did I freeze?
Yeah, like Steve Jobs does that too, it sounds like, with the turtlenecks.
Okay, yeah. So like same thing. The reason why they do that is because they want to spend less energy on things that don't matter and energy when things matter. It's the same thing in sales where when you get or see a certain response, it should be like autopilot. And then after you do that, you should have a next step for that person. After that, you'll have like a, you know exactly what to email, you know exactly what to do. All that should be very automated where you're not thinking. So you save your thinking for all the negotiations, for driving to the finish line, for building genuine relationships. And so one thing I do, one of my automation thing is if someone emailed me back in the day when I was prospecting and hunting, they email me not interested or unsubscribe, autopilot. I pick up my phone, I call them, I look at the email address, their signature line, and I say, "Hey Bob, I just got your email. I know you mentioned unsubscribe. Just curious, have you heard of our company before?" And start the conversation that way. And I think other folks might think it's ridiculous because when someone says unsubscribe, you like delete their email and unsubscribe them. But there's no, he didn't say, "Don't call me ever again." I said, "Hey, I'll unsubscribe you, but I was reaching out. Have you heard of my company?" And so
Love
to me, that's normal. And that's my autopilot working. I know exactly what to do whenever I get that
Wow.
email. I'm not wasting a single part of my energy thinking about what to do. So that's one little thing, I guess.
That's amazing. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, because it's like you're right. Technically, they didn't say don't call me, right? They just said, and the fact that they took the time to write back means like they're in front of they just emailed you, right? So they're probably available. So that's really smart and so unconventional as well. I love
Yeah, and they're caught off guard because most people don't call after you say unsubscribe or not interested. But again, you gotta deal with tact. You can't say like, "Hey," you know. You gotta say, "Hey," you know. You gotta ease into it. Be very, very, consultative as well, and add some of the research you've had. But the main takeaway is just have an autopilot response for things you can not expend energy on, and just save all your energy for creative things.
Wow, thank you so much, Daisy. Yeah, this is such a great because I do get a lot of people that like will reach out to me about tech sales. You know, working at LinkedIn certainly helped where, you know, you get a lot of visibility and a lot of younger folks that are just right out of college, like what you said, right when you were around that stage. And not a lot of people are as open about like how much money you could make in sales, right? Sometimes people talk around it. They're like, yeah, you could make a lot of money. But I appreciate you being honest about that, right? Because I do think it's like one of those things where people are like afraid to talk about it. But we all know like that's why we're in tech sales, right? So I appreciate that.
Yeah, exactly.
And the last question I have for you is like what advice would you give to someone who, you know, maybe they're like a middle of the pack person, right? Or maybe they like almost made President's Club, but they haven't quite like hit that like threshold. What is like some advice that you could give them that might get them? And I know you mentioned like be clear on your goals, I think, and then you're clear on your why. I think that's actually that would make a huge difference. But anything else other than that point?
I'd say a lot of times sales and closing business rides on momentum. And if you kick off the gate running hot and closing fast your first couple of deals or booking your first couple of meetings if you're SDR, that usually propels more success because now, everyone's hyping you up. You kind of give yourself that little pressure, if you will, and you're on it for the next deal or for the next meeting. Versus if you have a slow start, let's say you don't close your first deal, book your first meeting for months, maybe, all your peers has, that takes a downward spiral effect on you, whether you realize or not. And now you're playing catch up. Now you're stressed when you talk to people, which leads to like less chance of you closing that deal or booking that meeting. So my advice is if you're not seeing the results quite yet, you got to accelerate that beginning part, whatever it takes. Work the extra hours, figure it out it's so much better to put extra time in the beginning to propel you forward than try to catch up later when you're already behind. And that way, once you're ahead that first, let's say that month or quarter, you do the extra work, whatever it takes, you beat out that your quarterly number early, then you have extra time to beat out your next quarter's number even earlier. And that way you want to get into the rhythm of closing deals and hitting your quota at the beginning of that quarter. Everything else is extra for next quarter and gets you in that mindset of continuous success.
That's so funny because it's simple, right? Simplistic in the advice, but it's so true. I've seen a lot of like younger reps that have just ridden the momentum of like they were an SMB AE, and then because of the ramp, like the lower, like the quarters are lower, so they're like smashing their numbers, and then they have confidence, they get promoted to mid-market and vice versa. And then I've seen reps that maybe didn't get a good start, and then their confidence is shook, and they're like, man, why are all these younger people like killing it, right? And then they're just like stagnant, and they're kind of just like not feeling it, you know? So it's so simplistic and it's so true.
Good stuff. It starts from that first month you're at the company. I kid you not, I've been doing, you know, the world of software sales for about 7 years now. And what rode me this 7 year momentum came from my first month as an SDR. And from there it propels, like it gives you that high, gives you that reason to keep going. And you get that little like, you know, that's a nice pressure that you're like, oh wow, I did really well. I don't want to disappoint myself or anyone. Let's keep going. And you'll see it ripple effect.
Amazing. Well, Daisy, I want to acknowledge you for your passion for sales and for tech sales. It's an industry that there's still a little bit of a black box, right? Like not everyone knows about it. And you're clearly an advocate with your attitude, with your enthusiasm, your passion. It's clear that you mentor and you coach a lot of people. I can tell just from, you know, you being inquisitive about what people are, what your reps are into. And yeah, thank you for being like a clearing for other people to get into this amazing industry. It sounds like it's made a huge difference for you and it has for me. And yeah, I'm excited. I'm sure a lot of people will reach out to you if they have any additional questions. But yeah, I want to thank you for your time and your contribution.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me and putting this podcast together. So definitely appreciate what you do for the community as well.
Aw.